Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Open Minds Radio with your host Alejandro Rojas.
Forgive me, but I love that little tune from Kevin MacLeod. Some free music that he's got out there on his website. Got to check it out. Hello from the Open Mind Studios. That's right. If you notice that the sound is coming across crisp and clear and it just sounds wonderful, that's because I'm using my new equipment here at the Open Mind Studio. We're actually calling this Studio 110. So we can have a catchy, cool name for our studio. It's actually in Suite 110. I'm not going to give you the rest of the address so you can come harass us. But, yep, that is what's going on here. So I'm extremely excited about that. In fact, you know, this microphone sounds so cool, you might hear me talking funny and stuff just because I like to take advantage of the wonderful microphone. It sounds like we're on PBS Radio here. Thanks for joining me. Open Minds Radio, this is Alejandro. Anyway, a couple of things that I want to talk about as we get started. First of all, the UFO Paranormal Radio Network, I want to thank them because they are syndicating this show on that station. Just look up UFO Paranormal Radio and you'll see he's got something going on 24/7. Tons of great radio shows that he has going on there. In fact, I'm going to be on one of those this weekend at 4 p.m., and that's called Eye to the Sky with Dee Andrews. So she wanted an update on what I'm up to and how Open Minds is doing and everything. And we are really just getting stuff started. In fact, you know, I'm looking at a guy here who's wiring some fiber in our studio. We've got people drilling and doing all kinds of stuff around here, getting everything rolling. And, of course, this is the first time I've been able to get everything set up for the radio. So it's all extremely exciting. We're having heated conversations over how to do what. And it's just a lot of fun to be rolling your sleeves up and doing some great work here in ufology. We've got Maurizio Baiada working on our magazine. Another great UFO researcher, Antonio Huneos, who started this week, is going to be helping out with the magazine and other stuff. And don't worry, I will definitely have those two gentlemen on the show because they've done a lot of great research in this arena. However, today's show is all about Project Camelot, Kerry Cassidy. You might have heard of Project Camelot. People get excited about their interviews because on their website, projectcamelot.org, they've been interviewing a lot of whistleblowers. So they have, you know, Bob Dean, of course, up there, but a lot of other people with some just really incredible claims. So we'll talk about some of those and see what you think. Some people like maybe you've heard of Sergeant Clifford Stone. I had him on the show, so you know he was talking about crashed UFOs and checking those out. Dan Burrish. There's another guy with some extraordinary claims about working for Majestic 12 and all of that stuff. John Lear, the son of the guy who made the Learjet, you've probably seen him talk before, how he talks about, you know, possible fights and secret bases underground between grays and military personnel. You know, they've had a lot of really interesting people on. So we'll find out, you know, what got her into this, what she thinks about some of these interviews that they've done, and why she thinks that. We're also going to talk about an exciting conference that they have coming up called Awake and Aware, and that's in Burbank in a couple weekends. That's one of the reasons I wanted to have her on, because they're gracious enough to let some of our guys go out there and check it out. And so I wanted to help promote that and see what she has to say about why they decided to start up a conference. This is their first annual Awake and Aware conference. In fact, we're going to have another conference that I wanted to talk about, the UFO Info Weekend. And the guy Seth, who's running that, I'm going to call him up in a minute so he can tell us more about it. But let's get into the news, because there's been a lot of interesting UFO news. If you go to, we're going to have this up on the Open Minds website very soon. But right now, if you go to the UFO Think Tank website, you'll see all of the news. If you come see UFO Think Tank or Open Minds on Facebook, you know, you'll be able to see some of this stuff too. But I've got links, and this is stuff out I send out on a daily basis. Very soon we'll have this on our front page of openminds.tv, so we'll keep you up to date on breaking UFO news, including, I think I talked about this last week, but it's continuing to make very big news, and that's Japan's new first lady claiming that she etherically had gone into a UFO and visited Venus and some other planets around the solar system with some very kind and hospitable extraterrestrials. So, of course, this is making news. She says her body, she was asleep, so her body was in the bed, and it was, you know, an out-of-body type of experience. And it is kind of neat, because in Japan, you know, not everybody, some people are kind of thinking she's crazy, but a lot of people are thinking, wow, this lady's cool, she's hip, you know, she's done some really cool stuff. They're not so much, you can only imagine if Michelle Obama came out and said something like that. Good Lord, all heck would break loose. So that's making big news all over the place. You probably saw something about that. Not as big of news making as some of these other great stories, such as a video, another one coming out of St. Petersburg, Russia. So Russia's, you know, got some news leaking out here and there. And recently on the allnewsweb.com website, they posted a video out of St. Petersburg. This is exciting news for me, because now I'm in Arizona, but I was living in Denver, and I was helping Mr. Jeff Peckman out with this. But this is a gentleman who, of course, is working on what's called the Extra Campaign. And this is a campaign to get Denver voters to vote on Denver actually creating a commission on extraterrestrials to look into the whole subject and share their findings with the public. Well, even though a lot of people have been saying that, oh, he'll never get there and it'll never work, and, you know, saying he's not getting the signatures, he got the signatures. He needed to get a little less than 4,000. He actually got 7,000. And they always say you need to pad it, because inevitably, they're going to find some of these people actually don't live in Denver, or they filled it out wrong, or what have you. So you always want to get more so you can be sure that you've at least got 4,000 good solid ones so he can get down on the ballot. So with 7,000, the chances are very good. You know, you're talking in the upper 90% here that this issue is actually going to make the ballot. And Denver voters, probably in November, will be the ballot they'll put it on, are going to be able to vote to have an extraterrestrial committee. Pretty exciting stuff. Once that happens and it hits the ballot, I'm sure this whole UFO subject is going to just, again, go gangbusters, and we're going to have a lot of media attention around the whole subject. So that's really exciting, and that's his main goal. Are Denver voters going to vote for this committee? Who knows? We'll see. But probably not. Of course, the odds are probably against it, but you never know. You might have seen the Google logo out there. It was a UFO logo not too long ago, September 5th. And a lot of people are wondering, why the heck did they do that? Why did they have the UFO logo? Is there Google owned by reptilian aliens? Is this a conspiracy? Lots of stuff going on. Actually, I hadn't heard that particular one, but I'm surprised I hadn't, because you hear about the supposed reptilians owning everything. But actually, I thought it was because of Exeter, and because Exeter was a famous UFO sighting back in the 60s by a couple people, and even Kucinich had talked about it in one of the presidential campaigns when he got kind of pegged for the UFO issue. But it wasn't Exeter. It was actually the anniversary of a silly Japanese video game that didn't have very good English. And at the end of that game, it says something like, "All your basars are ours." And so they put on there, "All your O's are ours," or something like that. And it was in reference to a video game. So luckily some people figured that mystery out. More videos out there in the UK. UK, as usual, they're UFO crazy. They've got lots of stories up there. Latest, they have a video that's fairly interesting you can check out on there. And also another story about policemen coming forward with UFOs that they had seen. That's what's great about some of these UK stories. Some people are saying, well, the real meat isn't there. But, you know, I think that's pretty meaty when they're talking about university professors, they're talking about police officers, they're talking about people who are working in the control towers at airports, all seeing UFOs out there. And those are the type of people that we don't hear about, that don't come forward a lot of times in the state. So these are the type of people feel are credible. So I think that's pretty good, you know, that they have these stories coming out. And boy, oh boy, do they have a lot of stories. There's definitely been over half a dozen UFO stories in the UK. And these are in their regular, you know, papers. These aren't in just UFO websites. These are in, like, for example, some of these names. The Daily Echo is one of them. These are in their normal papers that are out there. So a lot going on in the UK. And I know, and I got to say welcome to all our cool UK visitors that visit the web chat and everything, because especially doing the show earlier, we get a lot of people from Europe joining live, which is really cool. So thanks for joining, guys. Other news, because there's so much. And I know there's some more good ones in here. MSNBC, this is an interesting video that showed up. On September 7th, MSNBC, the Today Show, did a little thing on UFOs, and it really wasn't negative. It's kind of positive, talking about, wow, there's a lot of people seeing UFOs out there. And they really didn't, I don't think, heavily went one way or the other. They didn't debunk it like typically you have people going out there and saying not too cool stuff. But, yeah, they did a good job with this story. I personally was impressed. A lot of people get, you know, talk, the media doesn't pay attention. But if you watch, you know, I do a talk about how the media has kind of shifted, and the media is changing a bit and taking this all this stuff more serious. And that's certainly welcoming to see. Also, China. A lot of UFO stuff going on in China. Essentially, what happened was there was a mass sighting during the eclipse, interesting enough. And during the eclipse, some people said they saw UFOs. Of course, people are taking photographs and they're videotaping these eclipses. Unfortunately, we weren't able to see it here because we were on the wrong side of the planet. But a lot of people took some videos and pictures of UFOs, including some university students. Now, the government has taken the video from the university students. This video is supposed to be 40 minutes long. And they are analyzing that, and they say in 12 months, I don't know why it's taking them a year to analyze this video, but they're saying in 12 months they're going to come back and they're going to share what they found with the video. They're all very excited about it. Of course, lots of people in China are excited about it, but they're not letting the public see the video. However, there are a few really good videos, and just today, at least it's the first time I saw it today, one of these videos was released. Again, this came out on allnewsweb.com. And again, if you go to the front page of UFO Think Tank, you'll be able to see these links. But it is a really cool video. It's this guy's obviously got some great optics up on the moon. It's a beautiful picture of this eclipse. And then all of a sudden, you see this kind of little dot moving across the surface of the moon just very quickly. And the moon, of course, is completely dark during an eclipse. So you see this little light. And you can tell it's moving on the surface of the moon because it goes along the curvature of the moon. So very interesting video. Check it out. And that's the news right now. I'm trying to get back into the chat because you guys are probably chatting away without me talking about cool stuff. And haha, looks like I'm back in. Cool. We got a lot of chatters today. Wonderful. Well, let's go ahead and give a call to our good buddy, Seth. And as I said before, Seth is running this really cool conference called UFO Info Weekend in Florida, Cocoa Beach. And what's great about Cocoa Beach? Well, that is in viewing distance of shuttle launches. And in fact, he's coordinated this at the same time that there will be a shuttle launch. So if we're lucky, we're going to be able to watch the shuttle launch during this conference. And he's done it a little bit different, too. It's not just, shuttle launching or a UFO conference. He's also brought in some movie stars. In fact, one of these celebrities is going to be our guest next week on this show. I'm excited about it. Dean Hagelin from The X-Files. He was one of the lone gunmen, the blonde one. He's going to be on the show. And you know what? I'm trying to dial people here, and the number just isn't working. I'm going to do my low voice again because this microphone picks up those low tones really good. And it just sounds great. I'm dialing right now. We're going to get Seth on the line. We're going to talk about UFO Weekend. Here we go.
Good morning or good afternoon or good evening, depending on your time zone.
Hello. Well, I'm in the Pacific time zone, so it's about afternoon, late afternoon for me.
Hey, how are you today?
Good. It's Alejandro, of course, with UFO Think Tank Radio. Thanks for joining us, Seth. I was just telling the audience about your awesome UFO Info Weekend coming up. And with that weekend, I forgot to tell them, if they go to your website and register and put in the promo of UFO Think Tank, they're even going to get a discount, right?
Yes, I'm actually just literally, actually funny as it is, listening to you and actually adding that on in our system as we speak. So how's that for timing?
Perfect. Cool. Thanks. Well, I guess the first question I want to ask is, this is the first UFO Info Weekend you're doing, right?
Correct, yes. It is the first one that I'm doing, but I've been doing conventions in another genre for many a year, to say the least.
Is it mostly been sci-fi?
Sci-fi, fantasy, comic book, horror, anime, those kind of genres, as well as paranormal.
Yeah, I'm a total sci-fi and anime freak. I'm really big to anime. I've got to get a regular dose of anime on a regular basis. And I don't know if people know that about me, but I love anime.
Well, it's a great visual medium. And, you know, everybody might make fun that it's cartoons, but truthfully, it's actually more mature audience oriented because it's actually a form of art and culture in Japan.
Right.
And it's always more Shakespearean in nature. Good guys don't always win. There's blood, there's guts, there's actual morals to the story, and it's not a PSA at the end saying, you know, like G.I. Joe.
Right. They're so smart, too. They're really intelligent, way more intelligent than U.S. television shows. I mean, they don't placate to the lowest denominator. They really challenge your whole thought process and everything.
Absolutely, and funny as this, Japan is actually one of the, is pretty much at the forefront, is the best way to phrase it, when it comes to actually integrating the reality of UFOs into their current culture and their lifestyle too, and they actually portray it really seriously in the anime visual art as well.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
Yeah.
They have like they were drawing black triangles actually before we were even talking about them.
Yeah, yeah, very cool. So then, what made you decide to do a UFO conference?
Well, I've always had my own interest in it, and I had my own personal experience at one point in time on a New Year's Eve that I cannot explain. Don't worry, there was no alcohol involved. I don't drink. And afterwards, you know, I had been, you know, doing things in the convention industry, and I was actually at a convention, a paranormal convention, in northeastern Florida, where I bumped into someone who became a good friend to me, Peter Robbins.
Mm-hmm.
And he had told me about some of the other conventions that are out there that also deal with the UFO phenomenon and how they currently do it. And, you know, how the conventions are run and where they are. And I realized that there's really nothing on the East Coast of the United States, or even in the East in general, not just the coast, that really catered to the people that really want to know the truth and want to have some fun with it as well. It's always the suit and ties, sitting at the table, and, you know, sitting on the podium and talking, and everyone's there listening and sitting intently, but there's no real flavor to it. There's no, you know, it's a fun event in general for everybody. I've been to some of these events, and they're amazing, but I want to try something a little bit different that also opens the door up to a broader spectrum of people and get the word out to a little bit more of a group that normally wouldn't put their feet in the water at this type of an event. So I'm sort of not reinventing the wheel. I'm just putting steel belted radials on the existing one.
Yeah, that is really cool. You know, one thing I found in Denver, the sci-fi convention is really big. And my cousin told me, you know what, we should get a MUFON table there and I should do a talk. And I was hesitant. But we went and did that, and it was incredible because we were probably one of the most popular tables in the vendor area. And I would say more than 50% of the people that came to our table shared a sighting with us. It was amazing.
It's incredible. I just came back myself from the biggest fan-oriented sci-fi, fantasy, horror, anime, and everything convention this weekend at in Atlanta called Dragon Con. You ready for this? 74,000 attendees over the course of 3 days, or four if you count the holiday day, taking over four hotels that all interconnect. It was amazing.
Where
and
was that?
The people in Atlanta. It's an annual event. It is amazing. And the people that actually came over to the table and spoke to me, I was floored by their own stories and even photos they brought along with them, funny as it is, because most people carry their notebooks with them. I also was shocked to learn how many people that are in MUFON stopped by the table to say hi as well from across the country. It's a national event, and everybody, actually international, everybody comes from all over the place. Wonderful event, and, you know, I was set up there, and it's like, wow, it's really interesting, and everyone's, like, so enthusiastic about my event and coming out and actually getting the luxury of being able to not just see and hear these speakers, but be able to even witness one of the last few shuttle launches that are going to be out there.
How cool. I know. That's going to be great. Now, how many people are you expecting?
Well, the fire marshal is telling me that I can only have I'm gonna pretty much max out at about 2,500.
Cool.
But based on current tracking, I got a funny feeling that there might be just a wee bit more than that.
Wow! Awesome.
We're gonna squeeze them in. But I mean, come on. I'll explain the convention in 3 sentences or less. It's a UFO convention that is literally right outside of NASA, and it is the weekend of a shuttle launch. And if people actually visit our website, which is UFOinfoweekend.com, you can actually see the view from our beachside hotel of what a shuttle launch looks like from where we are. You got a clear view of Pad 39A. It's stunning.
Yeah, I am so psyched about that. That's going to be sweet. I hope it launches. I've never seen a shuttle launch, so I am way excited. Yeah.
We're going to have to fix that, aren't we?
Definitely. Hey, I've got a caller on, someone, I guess, who knew you. And the Jackal, are you there?
How you doing there, Alejandro?
Good. How are you doing?
Oh, I
doing
know
pretty
that
well.
Voice.
You know my voice, my friend. How are you doing, Seth?
Quite fine. How are you doing?
I am doing great, man. Long time no talk. Haven't heard from you in a few years. How you doing, sir?
I am doing quite fine. I've been traveling the country, and last I spoke to you, you knew I was doing that, working in the convention and the sci-fi, fantasy, and horror conventions.
Yes, indeed. Hey, you guys are working. If you guys are working with Seth, you're in good hands. He's a great gentleman to work with in the industry of the Comic Con and the cons. Good guy here.
Cool. Did you have a question for Seth, or wanted to say yo?
No, I just wanted to actually say hi to the man. I haven't talked to him in a long time. Lost contact with him. Seth, are you on Facebook?
As a matter of fact, after I had been shut down for having over 7,500 people as personal friends to me, I just last week resurrected my Facebook. So, yes, you can actually find me on Facebook. And everybody, by the way, is encouraged to actually go on and, you know, become a friend to me, because I always tell people things that are going on, and I also help people and network people together. But if I have one friend looking for something, I'll put it up on my Facebook page, or I'll put an email out there. So people get to play along well with each other. Like, if someone's looking for something and the other one has it, I'll try and make the connection between the two people. So absolutely, yeah, Angel, add me, yes.
Cool, I'll send it to him, make sure he has it, because he's one of my buds on there and on here. He's a cool dude. But, yeah, let's talk about more about the conference. When is the conference? More about how they can get there, who's going to be there.
Okay, excellent. First, I'll tell you, like I said, it's the UFO convention that is right outside of NASA, the weekend of a shuttle launch. It is going to be November 12th through the 15th, and it is going to be this year. Next year, we're also going to try and time it around the same time of year with the new, whatever they have as a replacement that they'll admit to, launch. Notice we actually like to point that out.
Right.
You know, there's something on the horizon, we just don't know what it is.
They don't let us watch the cool launches, the new stuff.
All right. Oh, by the way, I see that he typed, I said your real name. I didn't say your last name. I'm sorry, I'm looking at your talk
the
over
chat,
there.
Yeah.
let's see, the guest list that we have, the short list of the speakers, or you want the celebrities first? You tell me. Who do you want?
Let's do the short list with, some celebrities.
Celebrities. We have actually all three of the lone gunmen from the X-Files, and it is a very rare thing that you actually have them all together in the same place at the same time. And funny as it is, Dean Haglund actually does a really great comedy, stand-up comedy routine, which he will be doing at our Saturday night dinner, which is going to be entertaining. We also have Billy West, who is actually Fry from the TV show Futurama, who's going to be joining us. I don't know if anybody knows who that is. I know I've seen the cartoon.
Oh, I love Futurama.
Oh, excellent. By the way, funny as it is, just 3 degrees of separation instead of 6 degrees of separation, like we just had with our friend who was just on the phone.
Yeah.
He was actually also Agent K's voice in Men in Black, the animated series.
Yeah, I read that. I didn't realize that. I didn't know there was an animated series.
Oh, yeah. It aired with the CW the CW channel or network, I guess is what you would call it. We also have Spike Spencer, who is in one of actually the most quintessential anime UFO phenomena related movies out there, called Neon Genesis Evangelion.
Oh yeah, that one's
very, very. Yeah, and they now actually, rumor has it, so don't quote me on this, but it appears Peter Jackson actually possibly might be doing something with that in the live-action format.
Hmm.
And it should be rather interesting. Well, at least the visuals are going to be done by Weir Studios, which is owned by him. So, the visuals of live-action anime is going to be phenomenal. We also have Wally Winger that's going to be joining us, who was one of the primary characters in Space Chimps and a couple of other movies. And this guy, if you saw his resume of who he and who he's voiced and what he's voiced, you'd be like, I've heard that voice, and I've heard it too many times. Now, also we have actually Sci-Fried the Band, that's also going to be joining us as well. They're actually a musical parody group that makes light of all sorts of science fiction as well as science fact.
Mm-hmm.
Latest thing that they're most famous for is just to make everybody that's listening laugh. How about Bohemian Rhapsody in Klingon?
Oh, jeez.
The music video is actually up on the internet, and it is the most hilarious thing that you could see.
Peter Robbins going to join him?
Yeah, I don't know if he speaks Klingon.
He looks more like a Ferengi.
Well, it's not that he's short. He's just altitudinally challenged.
Right.
You know, that's all. Now, on the guest speaker side, as you can see, folks, by the way, it's going to be humorous. We're looking. My tagline for the weekend is, you've seen the fictions, you've heard the fantasy, now really learn the facts.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'll get into the lineup of actually the people that are actually going to be speaking about the phenomenon. Obviously, everybody has heard of Nick Pope, who is pretty much the real Fox Mulder from the Ministry of Defense.
Right.
He's the guy who saw it all and knew it all. We also have Kathleen Martin, who is Betty and Barney Hill's niece, who's going to be joining us. John Carpenter, who actually focuses on the abduction phenomena, as well as doing some hypnosis stuff, as well as actually just dealing with the therapy and recovery of people who have been abducted. We also have Nick Redfern. I'm sure everybody knows him. He's actually also part of the Freedom of Information gathering that we've all been wanting, both stateside and overseas, and he's now actually a cryptozoologist as well. And obviously we have Peter Robbins that you just mentioned, who is actually a great, great author and a great lecturer. He focuses on the Rendlesham incident in the UK. And obviously everybody knows Richard Dolan. Can't go wrong with him. And, of course, the foremost person that everybody knows and everybody recognizes is Stanton Friedman, who will be joining us as well.
Awesome. Well, cool. Great lineup. What weekend?
It is going to be actually the November 12th through 15th weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And, again, it's the weekend of a shuttle launch. And if anybody actually from your show actually registers for the event, all they have to do in the coupon area is going to put in Think Tank, and they will actually, funny as it is, get 10% off of their registration fee if they are going to be joining us as a thank you for taking the time and putting me on the interview.
Yeah, awesome. Well, I'm excited about it because you're bringing me out too, and I'm going to be joining some workshops and panels. So, you know, people got to come out and hang out with us.
Well, why don't you tell me what some of the topics that you have set up for your panel are?
I don't know yet. We haven't gotten that far.
See, I caught you right on the spot there.
You did, but you know what? Anything and everything we've talked about before, so I can take it all.
All right, sounds good. Oh, can I just mention one other thing about our event also?
Go for it.
Excellent. If anybody here needs some extra sources of funds, whether you're employed or unemployed, I know it's a hard economy out there. I actually have an affiliate program set up on our website that people can register for. And if they put up banners, they put up links, or actually market us on the internet, they can actually be tracked, and you as a representative of our event will actually earn a 10% sales commission on the registration fee of anybody that you drive traffic from their website to us. If anybody's looking for additional income and they are a fan of the phenomena or have had their own personal experience, please feel free and register for our event. We will give you all the details. You will have an amazing time at the event. You can even earn free flight, free food, free hotel. We have some really great ways to get people to our event. And I think that pretty much covered all the bases on that.
Awesome. UFOinfoweekend.com. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for getting me Dean Hagelin on the show next week. And you know what? I don't know if he'd have much to say, but Billy West, I mean, I am such a huge fan of Futurama. I think that would be fun.
Actually, he is a very, very big conspiracy theorist.
Oh, really?
He's got some interesting things to say, to talk about. He's got some interesting insights, especially since, being in the media culture and being out there. He gets to hear some interesting things, and I'll see what I could do.
All right, great. Well, I better get my guest on the phone, but thanks for joining us. And we'll be talking more about the weekend as it draws nearer, and I'm really excited about it.
Not a worry. I hope you have a great and wonderful evening, and to all the listeners out there, no matter what time zone you're in, have an amazing, amazing weekend that's on the horizon.
All right. Thank you, sir. Someone asked, is Kerry Cassidy still a guest tonight? Yes, she is. In fact, I am going to get my fingers busy right now dialing her in because I am really excited to talk to her, just as you all are probably excited to hear from her. And man, my voice just sounds so wonderful on this microphone. Sounds so deep and professional, and I just love it. All right, the phone is dialing, my friends, as we wait to speak to the one.
Hello,
Kerry?
Yes.
Hello, this is Alejandro with Open Minds Radio. Thank you very much for joining us tonight.
Oh, well, thank you for calling me.
Yeah, I'm really excited. I think a lot of people are really excited about your conference coming up, the Awake and Aware Conference. And I guess let's start from the beginning with you, though. What prompted you all to start Project Camelot?
Oh, okay. That's way back in the beginning. projectcamelot.org is our website. And Bill Ryan and I got together about, it's actually a little over 3 years ago, and decided to put our skill sets together to start Camelot. Both of us were dedicated researchers in this field, that is the field of conspiracies, I guess you might say UFOs, anything that is sort of unusual, like free energy, basically trying to break through the matrix. And so what had happened was I was a frustrated filmmaker. I was working in Hollywood producing, trying to put together as an independent producer, films to get made that were sci-fi based, and I was also writing screenplays on my own and pitching them around Hollywood. And I got the rights to the Wingmakers story. A lot of people will be familiar with wingmakers.com. It's got quite a cult following itself. And I was pitching that movie to people like development people who work for people like Spielberg and Ridley Scott and so on, and getting turned down and having reached sort of a glass ceiling, if you will, in Hollywood, I decided to pick up a camcorder, just a consumer grade, and start attending UFO conferences and see if I could interview these speakers and see if I could make a documentary about the subject, because I happened to know that it was a very timely, important subject, and it wasn't really being covered anywhere, and at least in the mainstream. And so that's what I did. I started interviewing people with my camcorder, and one of the people I interviewed was actually my partner now, Bill Ryan, my partner in Camelot. He was at the time the webmaster for the SERPO project. I don't know if your listeners will be familiar with that, but that was a purported alien exchange program that went on during the 1960s with some astronauts.
Sort of like Close Encounters, kind of a real-life Close Encounters.
Exactly, exactly. And so Bill had volunteered to build the website, and he was very good at it, and became sort of a spokesperson for that whole SERPO.org rollout of press releases and so on. And they were anonymously based. So I I basically was going to attend the Laughlin conference. I wrote Bill an email. We were both part of Victor's List, which is a very sort of exclusive list full of people in intel and military, ex-military and journalists and so on. And got in contact with Bill, and I said I was going to be at the Laughlin conference. Could I interview him? And he said yes. So I interviewed him, and during the interview, I was very impressed because as the webmaster for SERPO, he was very balanced and not, he didn't take offense at any of my direct questions. And I'm sort of known, now I'm known for my style, but back then that was just the beginning. But I thought he handled it very well, and he was very balanced and very intelligent in his answers. So we sort of hit it off, and we went to dinner and got to know each other. And then we stayed in touch over email. And then I went to Egypt with Jordan Maxwell and William Henry on the tour for the solstice, and that was back in 2006.
Wow.
And I took a side trip to England and met with Bill, and we went to Tintagel, one of the homes of King Arthur, and we both kind of looked at each other and said, well, how can we put our skill sets together? We both want disclosure. What can we do? And Camelot was born right then and there. I have to say, in one discussion, we thought of the name, Project Camelot, and that was it. From there, we didn't even look back. We just, we built the website, and we went out with my camcorder, and we started interviewing. The first witness we had was Mr. X, who had come to through Bill, who actually had written to Bill while he was at the SERPO project, saying that he had a secret, you know, story, and that he hasn't told anyone his whole life. And he and Bill got to talking, and then we arranged to interview him.
Gotcha. Neat. You know, that answers a question I was going to ask, how you came up with the name. And it was with the energy of King Arthur that the whole thing got started, huh? So,
that's right. The round table and the idea that you know, because we are living in such a hierarchical society where some people have power and others don't,
mm-hmm.
That was one of the biggest models that mm-hmm. we really wanted to bring back to life, in essence, the round table.
And now I saw, wasn't there even some conspiracy rumors around your name, and that was some kind of secret government project or something?
Yeah. Well, it's interesting how, I mean, I don't know why, you know, maybe it's just a quirky thing. I do know that basically Project Camelot was, I think, my idea. And the reason I thought of it was because I had been writing a screenplay called Project Moondust that was based on a military, alien recovery program that where they went around and crashed vehicles and picked up aliens and so on. And I had written a spec screenplay called Project Moondust, and I knew that the military had named projects, like that's what they do. They always put project, or a lot of times, before a name. At least they used to.
Mm-hmm.
Things like Project Monarch. I mean, there are a lot of famous top secret names with the word project in front of
right.
it. And obviously we weren't going to call it Camelot because there were a million websites out there with the name Camelot, right?
Mm-hmm.
So to differentiate ourselves and also to bring in that sort of military top secret angle, we put project in front of Camelot, and that's how it was born.
Yeah, cool. I think it's a great name, and I guess unwittingly there was some government project or secret project named Project Camelot.
Yes, as it happens.
And they like is this right? They accused you all of being a continuation of that and some sort of disinformation or something like that?
Yeah, they tried. Well, it was on Rents.com that someone, I don't think it was Rents's idea so much mm-hmm. as maybe someone put him up to it. We don't know who, because they put an anonymous article on mm-hmm. Rents's. Well, Rents took the article, but I don't think he wrote it. They tried to draw parallels or some strange thing. But I have to say that I don't know if people know us or have listened to our stuff who are listening to this show at the moment. But all I can say is that if anyone did their did real investigation on us, they would know that that was completely false.
Yeah, so. It happens to everyone. I don't know too many people in this field that haven't been accused of being some sort of government agent. So, and it, as far as I know, most of them are not true. Maybe some of them, but who knows, huh? So, you since then you've started to you do a lot of interviews. You guys have done probably hundreds by now, huh?
Yeah, I guess you would say that. I mean, what happens is that we are self-funded from the beginning. Basically, I had a small inheritance from my mother's passing, and then we lived on that sort of created Camelot and went on the road to interview people for about 2 years and then ran out of money. And then Bill's mother died. And he had a small inheritance for that, and that kept us alive for a little while. And then we started asking for donations,
mm-hmm.
and that was about, I don't know, now it's probably been about a year and a half ago or more. And
right.
since that time, we've survived on donations. I mean, literally, I wait to see if I can pay my rent every month on donations, and that sounds crazy. And it is a crazy way to live, I have to say.
And that's projectcamelot.org, so people can go there and check some of these interviews out. Now, you probably have a lot of shocking, you know, revelations that come across in your interviews, but what were some of the beginning ones, some of the things that started to floor you?
Well, that's an interesting question. One thing I have to say is that because we were researching this separately before we met, both of us were quite knowledgeable by the time we started Camelot on, once you kind of get into this field, you go down a rabbit hole and you start discovering everything. And so almost nothing that's come across our desk so much has been so shocking.
Mm-hmm.
But what we have done is we've gotten a lot of verification for things we had maybe some clue about, but we didn't know if they were true. And that's where it becomes very interesting. We were able to, for example, I mean, you could say, well, is there life on Mars? Well, you know, we have a whistleblower, Henry Deacon, who is now known, come forward, named Arthur Neumann or Newman, depending on how you want to pronounce it. And he has been to Mars through what's called a jump gate or jump room.
Mm-hmm.
And basically encountered, you know, there's a government base on Mars, there are Anunnaki there, and this is his testimony. So you could say we had the theory, but we didn't realize we were going to actually meet somebody who said he'd been there.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to say that we've actually been contacted by other people. I'm thinking of one in particular who wrote to us, who had been in the military, and actually wrote to us that he had been on Mars. Sometimes we have people, whistleblowers, write to us, and then something happens. They get scared. Maybe they get contacted and stopped. We don't know, but they just disappear.
Mm-hmm.
They'll give us some revelations, and then they'll disappear. But certainly, you know, getting in touch with Henry Deacon and meeting someone who had actually been to Mars and was willing to go on the record saying he had, that was probably the biggest revelation that we've had.
Mm-hmm. Now, and was this kind of the Stargate type of concept, some of the stuff that, like, was talked about in the Montauk Project type books?
Well, it's a teleporting or, you know, time travel sort of a device, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And our new whistleblower, Pete Peterson, talks about it in terms of what they call the, I believe it's called the TARDIS. It's like a phone booth that it was in the Doctor Who movie.
Right.
And, I mean, it's that sort of thing.
Hmm.
And actually, you know, I mean, evolved races, from what we understand, and this is something that Henry Deacon also told us early on, which was because he'd known that Bill was part of the Serpo project as the webmaster. He said, well, the way they were trying to say that people, the exchange program would have happened using, you know, a spaceship of some kind, it was just not accurate in his opinion, based on his background.
Mm-hmm.
He said again that they would have used more of a jump gate technology to get the, you know, to do the exchange program. So my understanding is also that they use a lot of the craft locally. Like once they're on a planet, they'll use craft. And then the other thing is that obviously there are vehicles that are doing what's called superluminal travel.
And
so they're moving into faster than light speed.
Mm-hmm. So you believe that these projects are, you're certain that these projects exist, these jump gates?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, I think that I think we've just in Project Camelot. I think that what we're trying to do is paint the big picture. So we don't drill down, like we don't try to get interviews with people on the same subject over and over again. Like we're not going out asking people, have you seen a UFO, and you know, getting all their latest abduction stories. Mm-hmm. What we are doing is we are looking for pieces of the puzzle so that we can get a great overview of what is really out there and what it is being kept from the people.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have to say that time travel is one of the most important key areas that I would encourage any of your listeners to go into deeply, because some of the secrets revealed there have to do with what kind of multidimensional beings we truly are as humans, and also what the universe and what outer space really is all about.
Mm-hmm. I want to, before I ask some of the questions from the chat, one of them, and I'm sure it's a question all of us, you know, in this field face, and I'm sure you've heard it before. And this gentleman's asking about extraterrestrials and demons. Are they demons, fallen angels, and things like that? How do you answer that, and what has your research shown?
Well, there are entities that don't take physical bodies except to perhaps possess them. So there are, non-physical entities out there. They're very real, and they are affecting our time space. And then there are, you know, different levels of development, different evolved beings, which include what could be termed aliens, some of which are very human. In other words, the Anunnaki, for example, that Zachariah Sitchin writes about, they have physical bodies. They're not going around as demons, so to speak. Then there are other levels. I mean, there are reptilians, there are grays, there are so many races. Clifford Stone said there were 57 different people. Dan Biersch only talked about four. One of those races were light beings. So there are so many levels to reality as we know it, and to the hidden world, I guess you might say, mm-hmm. that I wouldn't rule out demons as being very real entities. No, not at all. They're real. However, I would say that, you know, that aliens or most alien races are not, do take physical bodies on some level.
Mm-hmm.
It depends what dimension they're in.
Mm-hmm. So essentially that phenomena could exist, but it doesn't explain everything. Not every extraterrestrial is a demon or an angel.
Not by any means. And again, a demon or an angel would be a discarnate being. So then they can take physical form, actually much more as an illusion than a reality.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, that would be a temporary state, for example.
Mm-hmm. So, getting back to some of these other witnesses, and another thing from the question from the chat, do you have like a verification process where you try to verify some of these witnesses and find out if they indeed did work in some of these places that they say they worked in?
Yeah, absolutely. We first of all, we between the two of us, for those of you that you know are familiar, you will know that we're very different personalities. And that's been our strength. It's made it challenging at times because we have very different viewpoints,
mm-hmm.
often, and we have to come to a middle ground to continue our work. you know, we have to come into an agreement on things. But basically, what's really interesting is that we're pretty well aligned when push comes to shove on most things. And yet his background is much more science and my background is much more art and, I guess, spiritual or metaphysical pursuits.
Right.
So when you put those two together, and that isn't to say that I don't have a science background, because actually I have some science in my background. But I, you know, by and large, his expertise is in the science area. So that helps us when we're evaluating witnesses and the people that we do want to spend time interviewing or talking to. The other thing is, again, because we both have huge backgrounds researching, we're able to substantiate whether somebody's saying something that makes sense or has been out there on the circuit, and if not, if it's totally new, how logical it is, and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing, we do a lot of is cross-correlate information so that we can find out whether, if you get a lot of different people saying that come from very different backgrounds saying something is going on. Then it begins to become more likely. For example, if you get a scientist and you get somebody who is abducted and they both say there's a phenomena that they came across and it's the same,
mm-hmm.
then you might want to sit up and listen. So there's a lot of cross correlation. The other thing is that we get to know our witnesses very well. We spend a great deal of time with them. Sometimes we go to their homes, we get to know their, you know, people close to them. We also have gone to places, close to places of business for various whistleblowers, like Henry Deacon, and gotten to know some colleagues, like, for instance, with Duncan O'Finian. It's a fascinating realm, and we do our homework, so to speak.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You probably hear I got a little bit of static on this side. I'll figure out how to fix that in a sec, but hopefully it doesn't distract you. But to kind of, so, which, you know, I can understand about the correlating people's information. So when you hear from a lot of different people something similar, that gives it more substance. So is that kind of, such as with a jump gate type of thing, you've heard about this sort of technology across the board from different types of people?
Yeah, it's very interesting. Well, we heard about it from Henry Deacon. We heard about some level of that technology from Dan Burish in regard to Looking Glass and also, you know, reverse the cylinder seals and using that. We also have heard from Pete Peterson, our most recent witness, in regard to that. So again, these people come from vastly different backgrounds. Their time in the military industrial complex was very different. Their level of access is very different. So it's very interesting when they both come up with the same story independent of each other. And actually, when we got that information from Henry at the time, he didn't know anything about Dan Burish, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And again, Pete Peterson, who we spoke to more recently, he didn't know anything about Henry Deacon, you know. And so, again, what we have at Project Hemlock is witness testimony.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's a very specific kind of thing. What we don't do is collect hard evidence that some people are very into tangibles, you know, like when they recovered, I don't know, a part of a UFO from Roswell. That's a whole different dynamic, and that's not what we're involved in.
Gotcha. So, you know, one of the people that you're mentioning, and I think you have a lot of information for, and it's hard to come across information on this gentleman, is Dan Burish. And I was wondering if you could explain to the listeners who he is and kind of what his story is about.
Okay, well, that's actually going down the rabbit hole rather far. I have to say that there's a tremendous amount of information out on the internet about him, some of which is not correct. And the other thing is that we have hours of in-depth interviews with him that, mm-hmm. I would highly recommend to your listeners.
Yeah.
But very briefly, he was recruited by what's known as MJ-12, who was an organization to handle the extraterrestrial problem, if you will, back in the Truman administration. And in theory started out with 12 members, but now is a much bigger organization, also going in under another name, or a series of different names. Right now it's actually called, from what we understand, it's called Scion, S-I-O-N, but prior to that it was called Committee of the Majority. Prior to that it was called PS-40 or something. I mean, it's had many names, but basically it's a group of individuals that are from the military-industrial complex, also from high-level Illuminati groups and families, and they basically offered to Dan an offer he couldn't refuse, which is something they do to a lot of scientists, talented young scientists, and he was recruited as a microbiologist to work for them. And he was brought in on I've got a call coming in the background here.
Oh.
I'm not sure how to avoid that. He had an interaction with an alien who was recovered as one of the ETs who was on the Roswell, I think it was the Kingman. Yeah, not Roswell, but the Kingman crash. And he was what's called a P-52 Orion, and he was alive. He wasn't dead, and he was had a skin problem. And as a microbiologist, Dan was brought in because Kyella actually chose him, even though he wasn't one of the most highly qualified scientists there at the time. The ET, Kyella, took a liking to Dan and basically wanted Dan to be the only one to take skin samples from him. And this was down in Area 51, you know, the notorious underground base in S4. And so that's the beginning of the Dan Burish story. And from there, it just mushrooms into all different directions. And again, I highly recommend all of our interviews with Dan Burish.
Yeah, definitely. He's very interesting. I mean, I saw him at the UFO Congress a couple of years ago being interviewed by Rob Simone, and I've looked online. And there is a lot of info, but it doesn't seem like a lot. At least I haven't been able to find a lot of the info that comes straight from him as far as interviews and things like that. There's a lot of stuff that's claimed to come from him, but I think that it is a kind of a little treasure you have there with so many videos and direct interviews with Dan Burish. So a very interesting case.
Yes, it is. And there's a power, this is why Project Camelot really exists, is the power of being able to be face-to-face with somebody who is saying something about their experience and really being able to evaluate what they're saying by body language, by seeing their facial expression, their emotional, content and so on behind what they're talking about. So that's something unique that you won't get if you just read a transcript.
Right. Yeah, having met and talked with a lot of these people myself, this is a question that would be kind of related to what you just talked about. A lot of these people, when you meet them and you talk to them, they do have that emotion and, you know, you really believe that they experience what they're talking about. However, when you go back and you think about what each of them had said, a lot of the things that these guys talk about don't jive. They don't exactly all fit together. How do you explain that, or how do you deal with that?
Well, I think it can be very complex. In other words, that's a general question, so I couldn't really reply to it very specifically. I could say that depending on what you're referring to, sometimes it's kind of like think about life as you know it.
Mm-hmm.
And think about how many disagreements that there are out there. Scientists don't even agree on anything, hardly, if you've ever spent much time with scientists. And what you find is that it's kind of like a Rashomon situation in which even if an event happens, I don't know, a car wreck in front of your eyes, you're going to have a point of view, everyone's going to have a point of view, and they're going to be slightly different. Now, depending on the I mean, if you throw into that the fact that we have multiple realities operating simultaneously, we have things like time travel, we have things like purposeful, you know, aims like electromagnetic pulses, weaponry, scalar weaponry used to distort our reality around us. And then you have people who are perhaps in an emotional state of one kind of or another, or they have some religious overlay in which they've been taught something since they were a child, and they decide that everything has to fit into that religious way of explaining the universe.
Mm-hmm.
It means that if, say, an ET comes, let's use this example. If an ET comes to visit you and it's a gray and they want to abduct you, they're going to appear to you because they can shapeshift into whatever they want. They're going to appear to you as, I don't know, Mother Mary or some, you know, some benevolent religious icon, like an angel, for example, because you mm-hmm. believe in angels and you don't believe in aliens. So they'll come to you in these forms, and then you will be more receptive to them. They're not stupid. They're actually extremely intelligent.
Right.
Even the biological entities, such as some of the grays are you know, they're artificial intelligence. They're very, very intelligent. They understand how to read what it is you want, what it is you want to project into your world, and what you will accept or what you will, you know, what will make you afraid, so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
So throw all of that in there, and you really have such a hodgepodge of perceptions among humans. And then you have to add the fact that most people are part of the matrix and they've been lied to since they were children, both by their parents, by the media, et cetera. And how to interpret the world around them and how to really see the world without blinders on, it becomes a huge complex puzzle. And that's really why we exist and why we do Project Camelot, because we're trying to break through that matrix and we're trying to get at the truth. It's just very difficult. And so some people really do believe what they're saying. They really do believe that they saw thus and so. However, what they really saw with all the techniques of mind control and you name it might be fairly different.
Right. Right, yeah, and, you know, while you were talking about that, which is kind of fitting, is, you know, I've got a couple people in here who are, you know, asking those questions about the demons, and one of them is messaging me personally saying, you know, how come I bring up the name of Jesus and I get kicked out? And I certainly have not kicked them out of the chat, and I've never kicked anybody out of the chat for something like that, but like you say, at the same time, you know, I think when they're asking for openness and people to be open to their concepts and ideas, I think they have to be open as well, and making sure we don't have the blinders, kind of like you're talking about.
Yeah, it's, I mean, the universe is wide open. We try to stay as open as possible. What we feel is that we are basically, in a sense, investigative journalists.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're constantly investigating these problems, these questions. And although we may get an answer that seems to answer most things at a certain time, what we've found is that usually there's another layer. And as Richard Hoagland says, the lie is different at every level.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the layers of an onion when you're unraveling the questions of the universe.
Yeah.
And so you really have to... you know, it's a matter of being evolved. It's a matter of recognizing your own higher self and beginning to open up all your chakras to being able to perceive all the different levels. And only then are you going to get really access to the truth. Prior to that, you're just going to get versions of the truth, but they'll probably contain some falsehood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that my question was pretty general, but that does answer my question because, you know, I struggle with that myself, where you hear some person who you think is very credible and you take their word and they say, well, the grays are here for that and the grays are here for, and you hear someone else who you think is great who says, well, they're here for a different reason. And all of these people who seem to be in the know have these different answers. So it's difficult to deal with. And I think your answer did address that. One of the other things I'd like to ask you about, because I know that you have a lot of experience with the Wingmakers, and I've read about them, but out there, I don't think a whole lot of people know what that's about. Could you maybe speak to that?
Yeah, the Wingmakers.com is a multimedia website. It's created by a person who goes by the name of James. And I had the very good fortune, both Bill and I, to interview him on Camelot. He wouldn't do a face-to-face interview. I'm still waiting for that to happen, believe it or not. But he doesn't want to go on camera, but he did do a written interview with us in which we were allowed to ask him everything that came to our minds. And it was fascinating, the answers. And it actually ended up to be a highly successful interview in terms of the Wingmakers material, because I think we asked the kind of questions that maybe other people hadn't actually asked, or maybe not in that way. But Wingmakers is, as I said, James, he does not consider himself to be a channeler per se, although he is in touch with the Lyrans from the planet Lyra, or Lyra, however you want to call it, and he is he basically feels he's a creator. He's quite aware of his own ET lineage, I think would be the best way to put it. And so he's speaking for a group of people, beings that are from another planet, from that were in many ways our ancestors, but our ancestors going back, you know, much farther back than, say, the Anunnaki. And so they come from a very positive point of view, a very deep point of view. And so they communicated a certain amount of information through James, some of which is put into music, some is in art, that is paintings. And the basics, there's a basic story that has to do with called the Ancient Arrow Project. It's an ebook, and I believe it's available for free or by buying the first CD set that of music. And it's on the website. You can certainly read the interviews with Neruda, who is, I think, basically James in fictional mode. And that story is fascinating, and that's the story I wanted to make a movie about. It has to do with a scientist that defects from the NSA, and who has come across, there was a discovery of a technology, a small device that was left behind by what a race of beings called the Wingmakers, who did cave paintings containing coded information and about our reality and about the universe and about who we are, and also predicting or telling humans, warning about the eventual discovery of our planet and invasion by basically a race of robots. And so it's kind of a convoluted story. It's a wonderful story. It has to do with basically reaching a certain degree of enlightenment, and it's just a fascinating story. It's like a mystery. Mm-hmm. And in many ways, I think it's put into fictional form, but it is actually, I think, based to a large degree on fact.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we had some local people, some friends of mine when I lived in Denver that met. And I never had the chance to meet up with them, but I have been to the website, and it is beautiful, all the art and everything. So something to check into, people. So with all of these interviews and all of this stuff that you've been doing, you guys decided to put on a conference.
Exactly. Well, I have to say, I live in Southern California, about 40 miles north of L.A., and I think it was on a Sunday, and I was just laying on the beach, and this friend called me and suggested that we do a conference of our own. And I don't know why he was doing that or saying that. At the time, we were being invited to conferences to speak, and certainly some friends of Bill in the Swiss ground crew were thinking of doing the Zurich conference at the time. But I hadn't really thought of doing one in L.A. Or in the L.A. area until this person suggested it. And it's true that we had quite a following. We have quite a following. So we've had, I mean, more than 9 million visitors since in the last over 3 years that we've been in operation. And we get huge amounts of people to our site every day. So we've really grown. And it just seemed like a great idea to bring together our whistleblowers and other, you know, Camelot witnesses, is what I call them, and all get together and basically have a sort of a wonderful meeting of the minds and also educational opportunity for people to come and listen to these people and meet them in person. And so that's exactly what we've got going. And it's going to be on September 19th and 20th, which is a week away. And on the 18th that night, we'll have a meet and greet in the lobby for people that just want to come and say hello. Basically, it's at the Burbank Convention Center, Burbank Marriott Convention Hotel and Convention Center, I guess is the official name. And so we have a website. You can go to our website and click through to the actual conference website where you buy the tickets. If you just scroll down and look for, it's called Awake and Aware in LA. And again, it's a Project Camelot conference. And there's a poster there. You'll see it's sort of like a picture of UFOs. And it says Project Camelot. And click on the poster and you can get to the website. And the actual website URL is projectcamelot.org/awake and aware, and the and is spelled out A-N-D, so there's no spaces or anything. Awake and aware, and then just go to that website and you'll be able to buy tickets. We're also selling tickets at the door. They'll be $25 more at the door, so I encourage people to buy them online prior to, you know, the morning of the event. We are having some fascinating people, Bob Dean, David Wilcock. We have Pete Peterson, our recent whistleblower, will be speaking. Duncan O'Finian, he's the super soldier, for those of you that know. And Miriam Delicato, she works with, she has a relationship with the tall blonde ETs and also works with indigenous people. Trying to bring them forward to speak to the world at this important time period that we're entering into, which is sort of like a shift, very important shift of consciousness that we're all undergoing that started a couple of years ago, really, and is going to go until around 2017. It's kind of a window that we're entering.
And then I wanted to ask, because you guys definitely are getting pretty popular, or have been, and I think people are pretty excited about your conference. I mean, it seems like every time I go to a conference or a MUFON meeting or something, people are saying, did you see Project Camelot? Did you see who they interviewed? You know, a lot of talk. So I think people are real excited about it. And one of the questions I like to ask is, what do you think makes your conference, you know, special and unique, different than the other UFO conferences, let's say, that are around?
Well, I have to say, because it's Project Camelot, and because we've been out there and, you know, we have the witnesses we bring to the fore are a lot of them are whistleblowers. There will be some whistleblowers in the audience. We also having, you know, people like Jordan Maxwell and Bill Deagle will be wandering around talking to people as well. So there's a kind of a community that's formed around Project Camelot, and that makes it a lot different kind of a vibe. Bill and I are also very open. We tend to, you know, socialize a lot and network with people. We'll be around and about constantly. So it's a kind of a whole different vibe. It's not like it's put on an official way. It's really much more of a place where people can come and really explore and get into the depth of these questions. There's just no question about it that Bill and I are absolutely dedicated to finding out the truth and to bringing whatever it is forward. And one of the things that happened to us recently, we were on stage in Barcelona, and Henry Deacon and I walked on the stage at the end of Bob Dean's talk about Mars, and Henry revealed for the first time that he was a person who had been on Mars and had worked in black projects. And basically the people on the stage who were organizing the event told us, you know, to leave, to get off stage. And here is a, what you would think is the most important revelation that's ever, you know, hit a stage anywhere at any UFO conference. And they didn't feel the crowd was ready. And so that perception and that perspective of the conference goers, you were not going to get at a conference that we put on. You know, we are basically ready and willing to consider almost anything.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, just I can see their perspective in a way, because I've put on conferences and stuff, and you know, you have a lot of people approaching you with a lot of interesting things to say, and it's hard to get everybody up on the stage to say their thing and try to run something organized at the same time.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that's totally understandable. But in this case, it was going to break. You know, people were yelling, let him be on stage and all this kind of thing, and let's hear him talk, and so on and so forth. And plus, Bob Dean and Henry Deacon are both our witnesses. We were invited to the conference. We were not asked to speak, but we were asked to handle a panel discussion, which is on the web on Disclosure. So it's not like we were just run-of-the-mill people in the crowd, if you will. We are Project Camelot. We did have a very important revelation that was completely pertinent to Bob Dean's presentation. He was showing bases on Mars, some amazing, impressive photographs that had, I don't think have ever been seen before.
Wow.
So, you know, you really have to realize what kind of world we're living in right now. And you really do need to be ready for anything. And sticking with sort of old-fashioned rules and regulations is not going to get us through to the next paradigm or the next, you know, revelation and revealing the truth. That we, all of us are being sort of stretched at the moment. And it's a very interesting arena that we're entering in terms of consciousness.
Yeah, there seems to be that there was a lot of excitement at that Barcelona conference.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, another one of your really interesting whistleblowers who you're talking about, who is also speaking at your conference, like you mentioned, is Duncan O'Finian, the super soldier. And wow, you know, he has a lot of things to say about, and you can correct me and elaborate, but things on psychic warfare, and even, if I'm not mistaken, he talked about changing his own molecular structure to be able to walk through walls and things.
That's absolutely correct. He, you know, and this is actually just the beginning of the subject. The subject of super soldiers is a very hot topic, I have to say. And Duncan, apparently, we understand from another secret source that Duncan was actually the prototype on the human level for what appears to be a robotic race of super soldiers that are being developed and that are almost indistinguishable from humans. And therefore, there are things like the Terminator movies are a great tool to discover the secrets that the powers that be don't want you to know. At least they won't tell you to your face, but they will reveal them in movies. And and so yes, Duncan has you know, has a lot of skills and abilities that were that were actually built into him, and going through walls is one of them. I mean, these are things that yogis, if you want to look at it from that point of view, also have had these kind of skill sets. The question is whether or not that, you know, the powers that be are basically trying to train and create sort of a superhuman that is capable of just about anything. And on the one hand, I think we all want to be superhumans. I think that that's not unusual, and I think that there's nothing wrong with that. at the same time, you know, whether you're going to have a race of fighting machines, so to speak, is a whole other matter, and what kind of society we're going to live in.
Yeah, that's what I think is fun about, you know, X-Men and heroes, where it's like, what would you do, you know, if you had a superpower and all the struggle they have with that.
Exactly. It's actually not science fiction. It's more science fact at this point.
I think a lot of people are going to be interested, because I remember when you all interviewed him, and there was a lot of buzz around that as well. And so I think a lot of people are going to be interested to hear it from, you know, be able to hear him live and directly and possibly interface with him. So I'd imagine a lot of people are excited about that.
Absolutely. You know, it's a really exciting opportunity, again, to meet these people. Another person that'll be there is Rich Dolan. He's going to have his second edition of UFOs in the National Security State. He just finished his second book. Rich Dolan is an incredibly dynamic speaker, and his evidence for the cover-up is so it's incredibly persuasive and well-documented, and he was a Rhodes Scholar, and he's just an amazing historian, and he's also a very compelling speaker. So,
oh, yeah.
You know, it's really fascinating the kind of people that we have there at the conference, again, which is going to be a week away, and I just encourage everyone to come on out. We have room for 800 people a day. And it's going to be very exciting. And Bill and I are going to be doing one of our presentations as well. And Bob Dean will be there, and George Green, and David Wilcock, and Marcia Schaefer, who is Bob Dean's wife, but is a ET. She's a contactee in her own right, and works with executives, believe it or not, in helping them develop their own sort of how to interface with the world as we know it in the conventional reality, and their careers, and also put together that with whatever ET experiences they might have had, or opening awareness or beginning of consciousness that they're achieving at the moment. So there's a lot to draw from. Alfred Weber is the person who coined the term exopolitics, and he's something of a visionary and a wonderful man. And there's just no limit to the kind of things that are going to be talked about at this event. We're also having live music on the Saturday night, so there's
sure.
That's going to be thrown in. It's just going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, and I think that is a niche, you know, a whistleblower conference is kind of what you might call it, and that is certainly something different, which is probably something that is needed, and it should make for a really good weekend. So I know a couple of our guys here with Open Minds are going to be out there, and I can't wait to hear back from them and to hear their experiences and everything. So it's
wonderful.
A great service you put together, and I mean, man, if you want to see a lot of interviews and get a lot of mind-blowing information that will hopefully open up your perception. Just the number of videos you have is overwhelming at your website.
Yeah, it is, and we just released a new one actually called it's a future talk that we shot in Barcelona with our whistleblower Henry Deacon, who's on camera, and people can see him, you know, live. He even shows his secret.
All right. Well, the audience didn't hear that, but we did, you know, on our headsets. We can hear a robotic British lady tell us there's 90 seconds left. But thank you very much for being on the show. ProjectCamelot.org is where people can go to look at your information and to also see the Awaken Aware conference. So thank you very much for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right. Well, if you all could hear the little British girl in my ear, she is telling me we are out of time, unfortunately. But like I said, next week, next Thursday, 7 days from today, it is my payday, which makes it even more exciting and wonderful. We'll have Dean Hagland from the X-Files, one of the lone gunmen, and I'm real excited. He's not just a celebrity. He's also been researching in UFOs for a long time, so we're going to have a lot to talk about. So be sure to be there, and I will talk to you all soon. Adios, muchachos.